This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. A quilt is not only a thing of beauty, it's a key to history and to the personality of its maker. From a quilt, we might be able to guess where its maker lived and her station in life. We can tell the maker's favorite color, favorite fabric, favorite designs, and most of all, her artistry. Not only her skill with a needle, but also her fine eye. A new exhibition, now up at the Daughters of the American Revolution Museum in D.C., and online, seeks to tell us about the maker herself. It's called Eye on Elegance, Early Quilts of Maryland and Virginia, and it features more than 30 quilts made between 1790 and 1850. Joining us now from her office at the DAR Museum is Alden O'Brien, the exhibit's curator. Alden, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, the quilts in this exhibition, are these quilts that were thrown across a bed and actually used for warmth at night, or were they for display only?
Well, of course, that's we can't totally time travel and see exactly whether they were spread out on the bed or kept mostly in the cedar chest. But I suspect that a lot of these were displayed on the bed because having spent all this time making these beautiful items, part of the point was to display your taste and your skill with a needle, which is one of the things that was valued in a middle class and upper middle class woman at the time. So I suspect a lot of these were spread out on the best bed, and you know, you didn't let the dog sleep on it, and you might have folded it up before you let your guests get into the bed. But yeah, I suspect that most of these were spread out to display and for everybody to ooh and ah over.
Some people might look at these quilts and just see hearts and birds and flowers. Are there messages and meanings behind some of these symbols?
Well, in some cases there may be. We certainly have some patriotic symbols. In the Baltimore albums, you see symbols of civic pride. They often put the Baltimore's Washington Monument on it, or they'll put the Merchant Exchange. We have one quilt that has blocks with both of those buildings on it, or even the watermelon in a Baltimore quilt. Watermelons were apparently a huge local produce item, and so when you see a watermelon, as you often do on a Baltimore album quilt, that's actually a kind of an expression of civic pride.
Stop and tell us what a Baltimore album quilt is.
Oh, yes. Well, album quilts are, if you picture a little scrapbook kept or a signature album booklet kept by a young girl, it was a big fad of the time. You would ask someone, a family member or a friend, to sign a page of your album, and someone would write a little verse or a little quotation from scripture or a poem, and or just say, "Remember me when this you see," and sometimes they'd draw a little drawing or something. So that's the book version of an album. And so if you imagine taking that apart and making it in fabric and spreading it out in rows of these fabric blocks, that's what an album quilt is. And the album quilt was a fad throughout America. But in Baltimore, for whatever reason, the Baltimore style of album quilt just was extraordinarily beautiful and elaborate and stunning. And the Baltimore album is just considered one of the pinnacles of American quilt making.
What do you think it was about Baltimore that led to that?
I think partly it's because it was a fabulous port city into which, you know, lots and lots of really beautiful fabrics were pouring, imported fabrics. And then as the century went on, by the time this fad hit in the mid-1840s, you had some locally produced American-made and even Baltimore-area-made printed cottons being made. And then you had a lot of civic organizations. A lot of these are associated with Methodist churches. A lot of Methodist church ladies got together and made these as presentation gifts for their pastors when they were posted to another parish. Some of them have Odd Fellows and Masonic connections. One of the ones in our exhibit has the names of a number of men on it who were printers and shoemakers, which were two of the earliest labor organizations in the city. So you have a lot of community ties in this urban environment that was mid-19th century Baltimore that just seemed to spur these communal quilt making impulses of people getting together and saying, well, you contribute a block and you contribute a block and I'll contribute a block. And then they also had some recent influxes of immigrants who were participating in what we believe was a cottage industry, making some of these squares as commercial products, sort of almost as kits. That's kind of heresy among Baltimore album fans to call it that. But what we know that you could purchase pre-cut and pre-basted designs, because you see some of the same exact designs on literally dozens of different Baltimore albums. So we know these were not produced by one single person.
You mentioned immigrants. These were German immigrants?
Many of them were German immigrants, yes. In fact, one style, the most elaborate style of Baltimore album quilts, is associated with a recent German immigrant named Mary Simon. We still call it the Mary Simon quilt top.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with curator Alden O'Brien. We're talking about the new exhibition, Eye on Elegance, Early Quilts of Maryland and Virginia, now up at the Daughters of the American Revolution Museum in Washington. One well-known quilt maker from this area, I understand, is Mary Taylor Lloyd Key, whom some people may have known as Mrs. Frances Scott Key.
That's right.
Tell us about her.
Well, Mrs. Key was in her late 50s or early 60s when she made this quilt, and it dates to the 1840s, so a long time after the Star Spangled Banner was composed, and probably after her husband's death. And we think she was probably going between her Georgetown, Washington, D.C. property and her Maryland properties. She eventually did settle in Baltimore. She had some married children who were living in Baltimore, so she probably just moved to be closer to them. So Baltimore can probably claim this quilt just as much as D.C. can. She worked on it, I'm sure, for a long time. It contains over 4,500 pieces. It's a really extraordinary piece of patchwork, and it's just the top. There's no filling and backing. It's not a quilt. It's a patchwork quilt top, partly because when you sew together 4,500 pieces of fabric with all those seams, I mean, do the math. These are all triangles, so 4,500 times 3, that's a lot of little 3-inch seams, and it's very hard to get something like that to lie flat. So it was probably going to be a little unwieldy to quilt, but it's an absolute masterpiece. It's just really gorgeous, and at first it looks kind of random within each of the larger triangular areas of the quilt, but if you look carefully, there's definitely a thought-out pattern to the arrangement of the colors in each line of triangles, and then they're arranged to create this beautiful, larger, geometric kind of framed medallion, you know, design. And at the center is a mariner's compass design, and further in the corners are four more mariner's compasses. And then there's some borders, what we call sashing in quilting, that define the various areas. So when you stand back from it, you see this beautiful, cohesive, geometric design, and when you get close up, you see this explosion of beautiful alternating white and printed cotton triangles. It's really a masterpiece.
I notice that some of the quilts in the exhibit show signatures and mm-hmm. stamps.
Yes.
Why was this done?
Well, I think partly to put your name on it and say I did this. Sometimes we have embroidery on the quilts. The Baltimore albums are particularly likely to have signatures because that was really the point of it. It was sort of like you buy the card at the Hallmark store and you get a lot of people to sign it. Everyone's participating in conveying their greetings or their well wishing to whoever is the recipient of the quilt. So you want to be on record as saying this square is from, you know, Aunt Lucy, or this is from your cousin Marilyn, or whatever. And then they often will put a date on it, and some of them have nice little poetic inscriptions, or one of our quilts has several inscriptions which when we Googled the quotes, we found out that they were hymns, and so various religious hymns were being quoted. So it's part of, you know, quilts are really repositories of memory in a way, and they're passing on. They're trying to create and uphold and maintain family and community ties and ties of friendship. One of the album quilts, one of the very few loans in the quilt, lent by descendants of the person who was the recipient of this album quilt, this woman Angeline Hoffman was from a Methodist church in Baltimore, and her Sunday school friends got together and made the blocks for this album, put this together, and she was moving far, far away to Kent County. And so one of the little verses says something about when you are far away over the water. Well, you know, it is on the Eastern Shore, and back in those days, despite, you know, the traffic and the boats, I think this was sort of, well, we'll never see our friend Angeline again, but it's this beautiful quilt that has descended in the family for most of these years. So, you know, if you want Angeline to remember who you are and who signed this square. So these are repositories of memory. And when it's a gift to a daughter or a son or a granddaughter, again, I think these older women wanted to be remembered in the family. They were hoping that, you know, when they died, this would be something that was a token of them and a memento of them when they were no longer there to be present in their grandchildren's lives. So, and sometimes it's just sheer pride at accomplishment. I mean, we have a quilt made by Amelia Locke of Winchester, Virginia, and it says in the bottom row, made by Amelia Locke in the 62 year of her age. So she was pretty proud of finishing this absolute masterpiece of stitchwork at the age of 61, and so she should be. And she made four of these things. We own two, and Williamsburg owns two. And when you think of this woman churning these beautiful pieces out, four within, you know, a short period of time, because they're so similar, she probably did them all around the same time. I'd want people to know throughout history who accomplished that and how much work it was, too.
Well, I really thank you for giving us this tour of the exhibit. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to speak about them. I hope people will come down the parkway and visit us and see them and check them out online as well.
Alden O'Brien is the curator of Eye on Elegance, Early Quilts of Maryland and Virginia. The exhibition is up at the Daughters of the American Revolution Museum until September 5th, 2015. You can see these quilts in person at the DAR Museum in D.C., or you can view the online exhibition. We have a link on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cass. We've got more ahead on the show. Stay with us on 88.1.